Hey there, welcome to the 21st episode of the Cracker Cast podcast. This is David from MrCracker.com, and it is August 4th of 2010. So I took a little bit of a break. It's been a while since I recorded, not on purpose, it just kind of happened. You know, it's summer vacation, you go out and chill at night, chill in the morning, chill in the afternoon, you know how it is. And then you find out it's been like 4 weeks and you haven't done anything. But I'm back to it, and hopefully this will be a decent episode. Let's see, I got myself this giant bowl of rice. In my language, which I will not tell you, we call it plow. And I got myself some coffee here, some good old Dunkin' French vanilla. A little bit of a change up from tea, which I normally have. Speaking of coffee, remember that one time I told you about my little episode that occurred at night where I woke up and I was bleeding, stuff was broken, stuff was all over the floor? Yeah. Well, I had another one of those. It was kind of creepy. I actually found out what it was. It wasn't nothing spiritual. No, none of your demons. Rawr. Anyways, it was actually coffee, caffeine. Turns out if you have too much caffeine, they call it caffeine poisoning, you could actually get hallucinations, psychosis, seizures. I'm pretty sure I had a couple of, a mixture of all three of those in my last episode. But it's been about 2 weeks. I've only drunk about one coffee a day, and I seem to be fine. So don't drink more than 3 cups a day, and don't drink coffee at night. I learned that lesson the hard way. Let's see. So back to the actual news stories. All right. First up, we have hacker proves Facebook's public data is public. So this security specialist, Ron Bowes, what he did was he went out there and spidered all of Facebook's online directories, compiling it all into a neat little torrent of everyone's name, addresses, phone numbers that are available publicly. And he came out with a list of 171 million entries. Can you believe that? I'm actually in the process of downloading that BitTorrent file right now. And it's got about 2,307 seeds. So I just want to figure out if I'm on that list. I'm not sure if my profile is set to not allow, to not public, whatever you call it. I don't know. I haven't really checked. So yeah, it's a 2.8 gigabyte file of people's information. Alright, next up we have cyber warrior shortage threatens U.S. security. So according to the CIA fella that was interviewed, the United States currently doesn't have enough security specialists to protect the country. So we're actually not safe. Well, it's not that we don't have enough people, it's that, quote, we don't have sufficiently bright people moving into the field to support those national security objectives as we move forward in time. So it's not that we don't have enough people, it's that 90% of them are complete retards. Or maybe not retards, just not smart enough. Who knows? So if you think you're bright, according to this guy, and you have some sort of hacking security background, move to the United States and you should be able to get a job like that. Unless, of course, you look like a terrorist, because if you look like a terrorist, probably won't happen. Or maybe just at the airports, who knows. Let's see, what else? But yeah, but he wrote that there are now only estimated 1,000 people in the entire United States with the sophisticated skills needed for the most demanding cyber defense tasks. Alright, next up we have security researcher demonstrates ATM hacking. So recently, I think about last week, the DEF CON, the famous DEF CON conference for hackers, was went on. And at this conference, there was a speaker by the name of, where's this dude's name? Barnaby Jack? Sounds like a pirate. But what he did was he brought up two ATMs on stage, and within a couple seconds, he had them spitting out money. He has reported these exploits to the companies, and they have updated those ATMs. But how many people that own those little quickie shops think you'll come again? Do you think that actually plugged in that ATM into whatever they plug it into and updated it? I doubt many. So after this talk, I guarantee you there's going to be money spilling out of ATMs all over the globe. And according to him, he says that all ATMs have these similar problems. Alright, next up we have DEF CON hackers release Android rootkit, total control of smartphones possible. So these other couple of security researchers had us talk at DEF CON, and they that talked about the a rootkit that they developed for the Android operating system, and they passed out DVDs to attendees with the rootkit code on it. So be prepared for an onslaught of malware type deals coming for Android operating systems. But I'm pretty sure that you have to actually download an application that is infected. And if I remember correctly, I remember reading something about it before they actually discussed it at DEF CON, where they actually tricked people into downloading it by making one of those Twilight picture application where you just download the application and it just has pictures of Twilights, sparkly vampires, or big werewolves. Oh my goodness. But next up we have Hacker Snoops on GSM Cell Phones in Demo. So, another great talk at DEF CON. Notice all this great stuff coming out of a hacker conference. So this guy went on stage and he set up this little antenna thing, and he was able to intercept mobile phone data on the GSM networks of AT&T and T-Mobile. And what would happen is people's phones would connect to his system that he paid, basically set up for $1,500. It's pretty cheap because those systems that AT&T and everyone use cost hundreds of thousands and not millions. Anyways, so he set up this little system, little directional antenna, and basically he intercepted people's signals because he was giving out a stronger signal than the AT&T and T-Mobile towers. And what he was able to do is actually kind of be the middleman and forward, you know, the people's phone calls. And he couldn't possibly, actually, he can record and store the phone calls. And if it's encrypted, he can simply turn off encryption like that. It's pretty simple. So that was pretty cool. All right, next up we have Jailbreak Me Apple iPhone 4 Hack Released. So all of you know about the jailbreak programs out there, Black Rain or Black Ice, whatever it's called. But so this dude, he came out and made it a lot easier. This is for the latest iPhone, the iPhone 4. And all you have to do is go to jailbreakme.com, I believe. Could be .org, no, I think it's .com. So go to jailbreakme.com and literally start the process of jailbreaking your phone just by going to a website. How crazy sick is that? And the best part is it is legal now to jailbreak your iPhone, as ruled by the U.S. Copyright Office recently. There's actually a couple news articles on it in this week's newsletter. All right, so that's it for this week's news. If you would like to read about more news articles on hacking, security, blah, 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 all that good stuff, subscribe to my newsletter at MrCracker.com. Look on the right-hand side. There is a form, name, email. Put it in, click submit, go to your email, and open up the email that you'll receive and confirm your email address just to make sure that the email address you subscribed with is currently yours. So I'm not spamming anyone. So that's pretty much it. You'll subscribe and you'll receive one email a week with the latest hacker and security news. Now that we're done with the news, let's get into the main topic. This week's main topic is about the second phase of the hacking process called scanning. Now, in the last episode, we discussed the first phase, which was reconnaissance. So if you haven't listened to that, go ahead and do that first and then come back to this episode. Okay, so what is the point of scanning? Well, A, you don't want to look like a retard scanning systems, attacking systems that aren't even up, because it gets you nowhere. And B, you don't want to be attacking systems with exploits that don't work for that system, or you want to know what the best method is to attack a system, and you can't really know that unless you know what's running in that system and how that system is set up, and you can accomplish both of those with scanning. Okay, so what scanner should you use? Well, the best, the greatest, the most featured scanner today is Nmap. No argument about it. It is the best scanner, and it was written by, I believe, Fedor. Yes, Fedor. And in my language, we call him Hveda. But yes, this scanner is what you need, and you can find it at nmap.org. It's free, it's always being improved, and new versions are constantly being released. Anyways, this scanner can do literally every scan out there. You name it, it can do it. And so what can a scanner do? Like I said, it can scan. What can Nmap do, actually? It can do everything. Actually, it can scan one system, 100 systems, a million systems, whatever you tell it to do, it'll scan it. You can set it to scan for simply just to check if the system is up. You can check it. You can set it to check what the system is running, what operating system it's running, which ports are open, and on those ports, on those open ports, what's running on those ports, what service, what software is running in that port. And with that kind of knowledge, you can pretty much target your attack and be very successful. And not only can it tell you what service is running on that port, but 90% of the time it can tell you what version of that service is running. So it's a very, very, very handy tool, and you need it to be a successful pen tester. You need to have some sort of scanner, and Nmap is the best. Now, how do you know what scan to use? There's literally, maybe there's hundreds, I don't know, there's a lot of different types of scans. And to understand every one of these scans, you have to understand the TCP/IP model. And if you don't understand that model, the TCP/IP model, do not start scanning until you do know that. And you can find information on that online. You can find lots of free resources or a bunch of books. There's literally hundreds of books written on TCP/IP. And you have to understand how that works, and networking concepts, and understand IP packets, how they're set up, all different layers of it, what goes on in each layer, to understand how these scans work, and to understand which scan to use at what time, what scan is probably the best to use. So, first, learn TCP/IP, how their packets are set up, what each packet is made out of, IPv4, IPv6, and then you can get into scanning. The best way to learn is probably get Fyodor's book. It's called Nmap Network Scanning. I have it here on my desk. It's not that cheap. It's like $30. So if you I guess there's other books out there, but I assume that the book that comes from the actual creator would be the best. That's why I went for this book. But yeah, it's called Nmap Network Scanning. You can find it on Amazon, or just go to the Nmap website, nmap.org, to find links for it. Nmap also has a anonymous feature set up where you can actually make you look like someone else is scanning a system, because when you scan a system, it can be pretty loud, and it can cause a red flag to go up with the IDS systems that are set up. So if you're gonna scan a system and you don't want the other people on the other end to know that you're scanning them, you could use different types of scans that Nmap provides. For example, the FTP bounce scan. You can literally make it look like a different server, FTP server, scanning the system, and you can have it bounce through the FTP server back to you. There's another scan called the idle scan, and this takes advantage of a zombie system, a system that doesn't have much network traffic, and you can make it look like that other system is scanning it instead of yours. You could route your traffic through different types of systems and come back to you. You can make it look like 6-7 different machines are scanning it, and one of them is yours, and when they look at their logs, they won't know which one it was for sure. There's lots of different things in place that you could use. So yeah, that's scanning in a little bit of a jiffy. Like I said, go out there, get Nmap, and get a book on TCP/IP, or just find resources online. Learn how TCP/IP works, learn how the packets are set up, and then learn each one of these scan types, and you'll be well on your way to becoming a great hacker. This week's hacker website is securitytube.net, and simply put, it is the hacker's version of youtube.com. It has hundreds, if not thousands, of great videos on hacking security, so if you have any questions on any topic, there's a good chance they have something on it, so do a little search and check it out. That's this week's website. Once again, securitytube.net. If you have any suggestions for any other hacker security websites out there, please email me at comments@mrcracker.com. I'll give it a review, and if anything, I'll mention it on the show. It's getting kind of hard to find new websites. Help me out. All right. That's the end of episode 21. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email me at comments@mrcracker.com whatever it is, hate mail, love mail, questions, anything at all. I'll read it on the show and answer it. So yeah, feel free to send me anything. If you want to follow me, you can find me at twitter.com/MrCracker. My website is MrCracker.com. And I have a YouTube channel and a Facebook group, which you can find on the main website. And that's it. I'll see you in a couple weeks.